Okay, it's 6 o'clock. I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Begin with Pledge Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Mandler? Commissioner Lathrop?
Here.
Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Gladue?
Here.
Commissioner Maselli?
Here.
Okay, we have 5 out of 5. We have a quorum. Are there any alterations to the agenda? Does anyone have any alterations to the agenda they want to offer? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes for September 7th, 2023.
So moved.
Your second?
Second.
Any abstains?
Yeah, I wasn't here, so.
One abstention? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And one abstention. All right. Communications pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Are there any communications? Derek, do you have any?
No.
Excuse me?
Okay. Moving on to item G, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Are there any remarks from the public going once? Any remarks from the public twice? And remarks from the public 3 times. Hearing none. Item G is finished. H, report from Operations and Administration Division. Derek, please.
This is the Superintendent Albertson. And just want to report for September, we had a very good month for process control at the treatment plant. We were averaging 99% removal for our BOD. And 98% for TSS. We recycled about 50% of the water from the effluent back up to Rand Whitney.
Put this in the top 10.
We're doing quite well. And the sludge thickening is going very well. We were over 6% total solids, which in short, you know, long story short, that means we had a far less number of sludge hauls and disposals, so that's also saves a great deal of money. I also wanted to remind the commission that we did have a force main break at Holly Hill a couple weekends ago, and we were very fortunate that a Matua employee reported the leak, and really was like a one cycle to 1.5 cycles of the pump station pumping, so it was a minimum discharge, about 500 gallons, and we hired the emergency contractor to come in and repair the force main in a timely manner. We produced a bypass at the pump station, essentially shutting the pumps down, eliminating the release, and we trucked the waste water from the Holly Hill pump station to our Avery 2 pump station. So that went very well. So even
And it's back to normal now?
It's back to normal. I wanted to indicate, I think I sent an email this morning, but just remind everybody, Prime Electric will be raising the manhole covers on 163. P&H Construction has completed the repair and improvement of the Rand Whitney discharge line extending from Maple Avenue, Route 32 to Depot Road. They will begin construction on the storm drain in front of the senior center. I don't know if you've been over there during the recent storms, but there was a significant ponding which P&H was vacuuming up. There will be paving on Maple and Depot Road this week. We went back to normal discharge line today. We were bypassing the Rand Whitney line to the municipal system, and this allowed Rand Whitney to not lose any production time. So once the Depot Road, Maple Avenue, Route 32 repair was completed Friday, we elected to wait till this morning to go back to the normal discharge. The commission has waived the bid requirement for the additional construction for Rand Whitney for other parts of their discharge line. I met with them this morning to just give them an update and provide information about laying additional pipe in that condition. Rand Whitney's very happy with the way things are going, and so far so good. We have received approximately 20 resumes for the collections operator position. Been working with the HR director, Ms. D'Amelia, and about screening and inviting certain number of applicants in for interviews. After the end of tomorrow, we would have interviewed six people for the position. We were very fortunate. We had some very qualified applicants for that position, and so we consider ourselves fortunate because the unemployment rate's about 3.5%. So it's hard to get people in the door, to work at a sewer plant sometimes. But that's it.
Do all the applicants have CDLs?
About half.
Are there any questions for the superintendent?
I was just curious, how much of the line has actually been completed from Rand Whitney as far under the new piping system? So how much is actually left of the old? How far are we gotten along on that?
Well, there's about 3,000 linear feet left to repair. What we'll do is install new C900 pipe.
So you said there's that. How much was total? How much have we gotten done so far?
About 2,000.
About 2,000.
About so 5, you're
about 5,000 linear feet.
Yeah, linear feet. So you're not quite halfway then with the project, and you're not going to bid the other half out. You said you waived the bid process.
We already did that.
Yeah, nobody really wants to take over somebody's half done project anyhow.
Any other questions for the superintendent?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask for a point of personal privilege under Robert's rules? I would like to introduce to everybody Troop 63416, our Girl Scouts, our local troop. They've come up here to see democracy in action, to get their democracy badge. And I'd like you to please welcome them. And it's really hard for them to hear in the back, and I'm sure they're not really interested in, but I take them downstairs and upstairs. I'll explain to them a little more about what you guys were actually talking about here. But it's very exciting to have our young people come out, see democracy in action, see volunteers from the community come out and serve their community. And I think it's a great thing. I hope you'll give them a nice little round of applause, if you would, please.
Welcome, ladies.
You guys are very welcome.
And they've been very quiet and good so far, so I'm going to take water before that changes.
Okay. Moving on to item I, report from the mayor. That's you. That's your report. Any questions for the mayor? Okay. Item J, report from engineers. Derek, please.
I've invited Thurlin Montgomery from Wright Pierce, the WPCA engineer, to give us an update on one of the priority projects we're working on. We've talked about this. Stony Creek utility bridge is failing. We've had discussions about what the remedy could be, and Thurlin has picked up the project and ran with it, and he's here tonight to provide a quick summary of where we stand.
Hot seat.
Hot seat. Leave this on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Thurlin Montgomery from Wright Pierce. I've been here before. So I just want to give you an update. We are working on the design of the rehabilitation of the Stony Creek Bridge. We did talk about this on some previous meetings, and we had a bunch of different alternatives, and so we're proceeding with one of the alternatives. I do have a drawing package and a spec package, which we're considering a 90% complete package. It's going through an internal review right now, internal to Wright Pierce. We have some QAQC people looking over it and making comments, including myself, which should be ready by the end of this week. So I'll kind of pose the question to Derek. I would want to have you guys or somebody from Montville take a look at that 90% submittal. It's 90% there. It's, there's going to be a few comments, I'm sure, but we're really trying to get this done by the end of October to have a 100% package ready to go out to bid, although we need to sort of talk about that as well, but a 100% package of drawings and specs that a contractor can use to rehabilitate this bridge.
Any challenges?
No, nothing that we didn't come up with, that we didn't see in the initial evaluation.
Okay, we have a new commissioner tonight, Rich Gladue, welcome.
Oh, Rich, hi, how are you doing?
For his benefit, would you explain what you're talking about, what the situation is?
Yes, I don't know if he's aware of the Stony Creek Bridge next to the, it's the police station there?
Yeah.
It's on the police station on Route 32?
Yes.
There is a small bridge that goes over the Stony Creek. If the police station's on your right, the bridge, as you're going over the bridge, there is a support structure there, steel structure for supporting some water and sewer pipes. And that structure, at least right next to the bridge, is pretty badly corroded. And this was noted by one of Derek's staff members, really concerned about it. We took some pictures, we took a look at it, and it's really, really rough. It's some of the steel structure is gone. And the beams are a little bit, actually starting to warp a little bit. So, Derek brought it to my attention. We have a structural engineering group, took a look at it, made some recommendations initially, and then we followed up on one of the recommendations to rehabilitate the bridge, keeping those lines active. So we got, I think it was two sewer lines and one water line. So we're going to keep those lines active. We're not going to interrupt any service. And they're going to temporarily support the structure, and they're going to be replacing a lot of the beams, the corroded beams. And then in the end, we're going to blast the whole structure and recode it. And it'll be something that should last at least another 50 years.
So you're talking just about just the structure hole in the pipes, not the
just the structure hole in the pipes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's about 40 feet long.
Any other questions, Rich?
No, I know what he's talking about. And
okay.
Yeah, as long as it ain't the bridge, it's probably not going to be that bad of a job.
Yeah. It's hard, actually. Yeah. Like, driving, you could see the tops of the pipe.
Yeah.
But if you actually stop and look down, you can see how badly rusted it is. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions?
On that, do we have any provisions for anything in the future, or do we have any needs for anything in the future?
To the best of my knowledge, once this repair is done, we're good for 40 to 50 years.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know.
So any of the new hardware that we're going to be putting on there will be stainless steel, or it'll be hot dip galvanized. The new beams will be hot dip galvanized. There will be some existing beams that will remain in place that are in good condition, but those will get coated with corrosion resistant product. I mean, much better than we had 50 years ago when it was first put in. So, 40 years ago.
In times past, there really was no concerted effort to do preventative maintenance on a lot of the WPCA infrastructure. That has changed. We now have a database which is being updated to identify all the pieces of infrastructure that we have, what condition they're in, some kind of a forecast for when they need to be inspected, and when they will likely need to be upgraded or replaced, and that's an ongoing process. So that the end goal is to reach a point where we are doing continual scheduled upgrades and not emergency replacements.
Yeah, my question is more like, are we making any provisions for anything in the future, any expansions of anything? You know, I know we're going to resupport what's there, but you follow what I'm saying? Like,
oh, if we have to lay another pipe across the bridge.
Right. Do we have anything that, you know, there's always something in the pipeline that people are talking about, you know, oh, we're going to bring gas or another sewer line or any other tie-ins. You know, I hate to just, yeah. If we're going to go through all the work, you know, if we can change the beam size or do a little thing now to make sure we're set up for something in the future.
I know the existing pipes have quite a bit of extra capacity. My guess is if it was a separate utility that you would probably set up, and this is just, you know, there's a couple options. One, you can verify that the existing structure could support additional utility pipes. Whether it's
is there room on it, though?
Is there room on it? There's always room on top. but there's room to this. I guess my point is room to the side so that you could install a separate, you know, right now they're on concrete piers.
Yeah.
You could put another concrete pier or extend the piers that are there now and put a new, that would probably make the most sense because then you wouldn't be interrupting, most likely not interrupting the existing utilities.
We definitely have space there if we had to lay another pipe.
Yep.
We would just have to construct hangers and, you know, whatnot to support it.
Most likely extend those piers. You can't really go any closer to the bridge, to the road bridge, but further away you can extend those piers a couple feet and then support another steel structure.
Would you say, Thurlin, this is another example of that new de-icer doing its
thing? Oh, what do you mean?
That's eating all the brake lines. Yeah. That new brine is really very aggressively.
Potassium chloride, is it?
Something? Potassium chloride,
yeah.
I think.
Brutal.
Very aggressive. You see it in the brake lines. You see it.
Yeah.
The bridges now are having to be inspected.
I would think that going forward that you'd want to do some regular inspections. I mean, it could be something that you do every year. I know that you have other existing utility bridges. I think there's one on Pink Row that's constructed pretty much the same way. It doesn't have nearly corrosion issues, but...
It
sounds like sort of like an asset management program that he was talking about before, about understanding what assets you have, what condition they are. And then
I was just going to ask that question. Is there a recommendation on yearly, monthly, weekly inspections and or upgrades, whatever?
Yeah.
Coming with your
replacement. That's I think it's considering it's a new structure, it's something probably you want to do yearly. But as an overall utilities overall, you kind of have to go and kind of go through that effort that you were just talking about.
The database, right?
A database. Find out what, you know, the one that's on Stony Brook right now is Pink Row. I think that's the same year that it was constructed.
That's going to be included in your final report.
No, that won't be in my final report, but like a database where you go around to each of those bridges and you put the condition and then you establish a frequency for inspection.
I just didn't want to come up with this, you know, it's falling apart again. When's the last time you inspected it?
Right.
But that's something...
It does kind of raise the question, right?
I think that's a really good point. You know, have the staff, collections operator... it's another duty would be inspecting these utility bridges.
Right.
And then, you know, we aren't engineers to the point where we can find remedy, but we can identify
the problem.
The problem, take pictures and document it. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be worth going through the system now that you've identified this one bridge. I know it's getting hit by salt, but there's, like I said, there's one on Pink Row, and they've all been constructed around the same time at the original construction of the sewer system. So it might be worth having somebody actually do...
Walk the whole system.
Yeah, to kind of walk the system, take some photographs, and do a quick little study and see where we're at.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the whole goal is to get ahead of the curve.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah.
Under new business, I may need just a comment from you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Are there any questions for the engineers?
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome.
Moving on to item K, old business. We have none. Under new business, we have one item. This regards a potential project which requires some So I'm looking at it. It's, you know, we need a study to determine whether or not it's economically viable or feasible, and the amounts. But the idea is that we are currently getting gas commercially for our fuel cell generator, and we could potentially create our own gas right on site.
Norwich owns one.
Pardon?
I've seen up in Norwich, they got one.
Yeah. So I would appreciate if someone would read the motion, get a second, and then we can discuss it. Al, would you read the motion, please?
Okay. Town of Moffett Water Sewer Commission hereby resolves to consider an act to fund $7,000 to Wright Pierce WPCA engineer to conduct a preliminary research regarding the conversion of an existing unused clarifier tank to an anaerobic. Yep. Digester to promote online fuel methane generation.
So, if you don't mind.
So we have a motion.
Oh, go right ahead.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, we have a second. Is okay, time for discussion.
May I offer?
Yes.
Okay. Last year, the plant did a experiment with it wasn't anaerobic, but it was aerobic. We took one of the SBRs and we overloaded it with solids, and we pumped air to it. So we were able to digest solids in an aerobic situation. So we found that we had a 40% reduction in solids just using one of the tanks as an aerobic digester. The second leading cost at any wastewater treatment plant is solids handling. So the chairman brought up a good point, is there's a potential if we elect to do anaerobic digester, you can generate methane gas. That is a positive. You can use that as a fuel. But one of the really big positives right off the bat is it reduces the amount of solids by 50% in 30 days. So automatically, on a monthly basis, you're cutting your trucks down by half. That is huge money per month for trucking and disposal. So you're saving money there. Then you're taking the methane gas that's generated from this degradation in an anaerobic environment, and you'd have to figure out where you would use it. It's usually a dirty gas, so it has to be scrubbed to a certain extent, and sometimes it has to be boosted with BTUs because it's a low powered gas. It has a low BTU capacity. So we would have to find the appropriate use for that gas. Typically, what they use it for is in turn as like a heating agent for the digester. So you make gas, it fuels a mixer and a heating device that in turn makes more gas that in turn mixes, and it's like this nice cycle. It has to be done in a certain way. You have to feed the digester in a certain way, or you could have potentially dangerous situation. So it's something that, you know, a superintendent should know how to do, an appropriate feeding, and you have to have a balance between these acids and alkalinity. But if you do it right, it works. And I was there in Norwich when they started theirs up. The newest one, and they were getting 50% reduction in their solids, and they were getting a lot of gas. But in Norwich's case, they got a grant. They got money to construct scrubbing units, and they boosted their methane gas with natural gas. So I didn't know if you wanted to add anything.
No, that sounds like a good idea. It is definitely spoke.
I won't claim to be the expert at Wright Pierce with anaerobic digesters. We have a lot of engineers that have worked on the same process. Got a lot of those, a lot more of anaerobic digestion up north than we do here in Connecticut. So I would call on Doug Hankins, there's a bunch of process experts that would help to do an evaluation. I know that's a pretty large capital expense, so it might be worth, you know, to do a preliminary evaluation just to kind of compare this to some of the other sites that we have anaerobic digestion in place, just to see if, you know, if it's worth the cost to do it. So,
which is what the motion is for, is to fund a preliminary evaluation.
So I was going to comment on that. When you talk about the gas being a dirty gas, there's the landfill in Hartford, and if you drive by it on 84, see all the pipes coming out of the ground when they capped it. And their goal there was to capture the methane gas and then use it to burn. And they had problems with all the gas they're taking out there being too dirty and too moisture-ridden from the decomposing of everything and becoming basically unusable. And I don't know, maybe modern technology, they've gotten better with that. And then there's the farm in Franklin where they were had a huge bladder they were putting all the cow waste into and capturing the gas off of that. And again, moisture issues and dirty issues, and the gas became unusable and the entire project was scrapped. So I guess that's my fear is, like, are other towns, I know you said Norwich are doing it, but, like, overall, are other towns doing this and having success with it?
Well, back in the day, it was very common. A lot of plants had these anaerobic digesters, and they would use that dirty gas. They'd still burn it. The problem is it burns, but it creates this residual buildup in the pipes called struvite, and it can actually block the flow of gas, and it can create pressure issues. It can be done. You know, we have an open tank that we're not really using. You know, you could put a bladder on it. You could collect the gas. There may be new technologies that could be explored for, you know, one, desiccating the gas through, you know, sending through a media to dry it out, scrub it. When I say scrub it, you want to get the water vapor out of it. You want to get any tar or really nasty stuff. Yep. So it cleans it up, but it's still relatively low BTU. It burns, but it doesn't give you that real punch.
Yes.
Like, you know, natural gas that you would get off the street.
Yep.
But it's definitely renewable. There's grants available for this type of thing. If you can make the case that it would work, you'd have to have an application. You know, most of the time it's mixing and heating of the digester itself. But the real money is reducing the solids.
It'd be a big saver.
Yeah, big saver.
That costs us a lot of money every month.
Yeah. No, I'm fully on board with that part of it. I just know other projects have gone on with this, and I've been a small part of the little bits of them. So, like, I retain a little bit of that information, and I know that they've not gone so smooth.
Yeah, in some cases, Norwich used to do this. They would just burn the gas off, and their sole purpose was the reduction in solids. So what happens to the solids, too, is you can further treat those than more so than the raw sludge coming off the tanks. So you can press them to get what they call cakes. Instead of, like, I'm bragging about 6% solids like it's the end of the world, you know, like the greatest thing going. If you get digester sludge, you can press that up to 22%. And it looks like felt. They call it cake. No. I wouldn't eat it. But,
and didn't you say you looked into that and we couldn't do it with what we had now?
Well, they said that in order to get higher, they didn't. I was looking for a better method for the raw sludge. If we could take our sludge out of the tanks and get even, you know, like 8 to 10%. And I tried. There's these things called screw presses, and.
Yep.
We sent 5-gallon pail out a couple times with Lisa, and it just didn't work. And then I tried all different types of polymers, didn't work. So it was kind of frustrating. But it's the nature of the sludge. It has a high percentage of paperboard in it, and it just doesn't
so
want
to. That's kind of specific to us then more than anybody else.
Exactly.
That's why this potential is so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the aerobic digestion works blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. I got to credit Marcel Antonini. He brought that up, and we ran a test run, and I couldn't believe it. What happens is In aerobic digestion, the bugs eat themselves. So what happens is they don't get enough food, so they cannibalize each other. And basically, after they eat themselves, they just give off water vapor and CO2. In the anaerobic condition, the bugs degrade and they give off methane. It's a completely different organism, but it's pretty exciting. So, but we'd have to really think about what the goals are, where we could place it. And that's what this
cost and the return on investment and all that. So it's just relatively smaller plant compared to some of the other plants that we have in aerobic digestion.
Right, we need to see what the return on investment would be. Is it economically viable? We need to have a professional study done to get those answers.
Yes, and the methane gas would be suitable for the fuel cells.
No, correct? I don't think so.
Could be after it was cleaned up.
Yeah,
if there was enough.
That's what I'm.
Yes.
And is there any use for the methane besides at the plant, or does it have to stay at the plant?
I don't think we'd make enough methane for that to be...
Okay.
That was my next question, is would we make enough for the fuel cells, or we still have to subsidize with something else, and would we have to subsidize for BTUs with something else?
I don't know that we'd make enough.
By subsidizing with the other fuel, you'd be increasing the BTUs anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why
I... Mix some of that in with the regular fuel, and you could probably burn it okay.
That'd be on the plus side, we reduce our fuel cost.
I'm totally on board with that. I'm just asking only, is it enough? And then do we still have to subsidize with natural gas or propane? And, what percentage do we think we'd take?
Those are the answers that we hope to get from the study.
And I'll throw this out there. The city of Groton has a small digester, very small.
Yeah, we're doing work there.
And I don't know if they use that gas or they burn it off.
I don't know. I will ask them.
Yeah, I think they burn it. But if they're using it, like, we could take a field trip down there and see what they're doing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So it sounds like to me you're looking to take and find a way to get a digester in there to get rid of our solids in the cheapest way we can to burn off this gas. That's what it sounds like. So you've got to do something with the gas. So you don't want to spend too much money on something to trying to find a way to get rid of it. Maybe use it for heating or something might be the cheapest.
Well, the biggest use of the gas would most likely be to feed the digester itself.
Well,
so it loops.
The digester, right. That would probably be the cheapest.
So that the digester would be self-operating.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting. I think there's an equation for the quantity of gas and
yes.
The BTU per,
yep.
Whatever, 6% solid, cubic feet of 6% solid.
I'll have to work with you and get some of that information in terms of how percentage of solids and maybe you can get some, a sample of the sludge.
Now, did you guys know how many BTUs actually is in this gas?
I know it's low, and they've had problems where they try to fuel things, and it's just not enough, to get it over the top.
Yeah.
So they end up, that struvite gums up the works, and then they end up boosting it with natural gas. So the scrubbing that's required sometimes involves acids and some
I heard it was pretty corrosive.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, keep our eyes open. It's renewable. The state has specified grants for that. So, and we show good faith. Another positive about this is that they love it when you have a turnkey. Well, not a turnkey, but you're ready for shovel ready is the word I'm looking for.
In terms of getting money or other funding.
Yeah. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions, comments, thoughts?
So besides the plant, what would you use this kind of gas for?
I don't even think we'd make enough to get out of the plant.
I know, but just hypothetically, would it be?
Outside of that, it has very little value to it because it's such a low combustion to it.
It's like natural gas. You could burn it in a stove.
Yeah.
But you can't sell it to anybody.
Could you use it like propane in your grill?
Propane has more BTUs, even more than natural gas.
Yeah, I was going to say, propane has more than natural gas, and methane's like way below that. I could look it up probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, so if you ever look at like a, even like a natural gas propane generator, you'll have two numbers on it, and one of them is for propane, one of them is for natural gas, because they don't have the same BTU out of the two of them.
That's why you got to have different orifices for the fuel.
Yeah.
Oh, so you need more to get the same output.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so the orifice is usually larger for the natural gas.
Yeah.
To get more in
there. Yeah, just like your gas stove, same thing. To get, they'll have to change out all the nozzles.
It's 2,000 BTUs per cubic foot or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's consistent with what we're talking about.
Yep.
So we'd have to have a...
So methane is way below
that. The big benefit would be the massive reduction in the solids that need to be pumped out every month.
Yes.
And if there's enough, we could clean it, boost the BTUs with the gas that we get from the street, and run our generator.
I think I'd stay away from the generator, I think. Stuff's kind of corrosive. I think I would just use it probably just for the heating of the digester itself.
It depends how dirty it is.
Yeah. Like I said, but you're going to spend money to clean it up. And then, like I said, how much you're going to spend to clean it up to use it someplace else. You might be better off with less piping. Just use it for taking and heating that digester up and call it a day.
Well, solids that's is going to be. That would be the kind of thing that the study will determine.
Yeah.
Any other questions, thoughts, comments? Okay, then we'll have a roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Commissioner Manley.
Favor.
Commissioner Lathrop?
Favor.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Gladue?
Favor.
Commissioner Micella?
Favor.
Thank you very much. The study is funded. Okay. Item M, reports, referrals from planning and zoning. There is no report. The meeting that I went to last was very short, and they didn't discuss anything that we haven't already talked about. So. Okay, so moving on to the second part, to the water. Item A, report from engineers. Derek.
As I indicated in an email recently, last week, Norwich Public Utilities had a 30-inch water main break in Basra that facilitated a 13-pound drop in their water system. As part of our... mutual aid interconnection agreement with Norwich Public Utilities, we opened up our valve to supply them water, and Groton Utilities gave us more water. There's been an accounting based on the meter pit. MPU will make us whole. We initially thought it was about 800,000 gallons, but it's closer to a million gallons, just over a million gallons, and we sent the invoice, I believe, today. To Norwich Public Utilities. I forgot if we charge them at the same rate that we charge Groton Utilities. I'll double check that. But I think it's retail. So it's actually a pretty good deal for us. One of the things that when something like this happens, it's catastrophic. For Norwich Public Utilities, they were on the news. I drove by. They must have 50 people there working on it. To have 13-pound drop in their distribution system, basically, I think it makes fire suppressant questionable. Because the minimum is 20 pounds. So if this was in Basra, I would think those areas were probably, very, very low in their pressure. But I have to compliment the two water operators again, John Lilly and Kevin Loyler, because it's more than just opening the valves. You have to monitor the water level in our water tower. You have to monitor the water that's being pumped at our 1401 station. And there's the Groton Utilities tower in Ledyard. And all of these have to be coordinated. And they're all trending down because we were pushing some serious water into Norwich. but it was done in such a way that it didn't create a negative pressure on the pipe that could potentially damage the pipe. It didn't overuse the pumps at the pump station. It didn't drop the water level in the tank, either in Ledyard or Norwich. Montville, to a level that would have been considered critical. So we were in, not to say this too loudly or knock on wood after I say it, but it's a good test for our system.
Especially for the regional, being able to respond like that.
One of the things the Connecticut Department of Public Health is very, very appreciative of is this quick response. And my question was whether we were responsible for reporting, but we're not. The receiving party is required to report. But the Department of Public Health knew about the transfer water. Everybody was talking to them, Groton Utilities, MPU, Town of Montville Water Supply. So it went very, very smoothly. Disaster averted.
A metering question for you. We added that meter pit on the corner of 32 there. We were trying to find the leak. With our system, do we have any future spots we want to try and do anything like that moving forward for our own benefit of leak detection?
That's a question actually interesting you brought that up. I've been talking to the water operators about, you know, with these meter pits and additional meters that we put in the system, that we'll be able to routinely find leaks quicker throughout the system. Basically what you see is a flow increase and then the pressure drops with the flow. And we're looking at maybe putting in more pressure meters throughout the system. We just have to figure out, we've talked about one at Stony Creek. We have, you know, obviously a 1401, obviously at the tower. Now we have one at Depot Road. We have one at Maple Avenue. We have, we were thinking maybe further up Maple Avenue. So we really have a better sense of like flows in the system.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was getting at so in the future we can kind of say, okay, well, like you were checking the whole system.
Oh my God.
It drove you nuts, it drove everybody who was doing it nuts. At least we could say, okay, it's in this area, which hopefully.
And then the leak turned out to be someplace that none of that would have found it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, through monitoring, we could isolate and say it's in this section of town. At least you can focus your attention on that part of town and not the whole system.
That new meter pit would definitely cut off a big chunk.
Yeah.
And then adding one at Stony Creek. So that way you could tell, where it was.
Do we have that in the works for pricing and putting together?
Yeah.
And with all that? Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Anything else, Eric?
No, that's it.
Any questions for the water engineer? Okay. Moving on to item C, new business. We have none. Item D, remarks from the public. Are there any remarks from the public? Once. Remarks from the public? Twice.
Yes, old business. You missed old business. You said new business.
I said old business, we have none. And then new business, we have none. All right. Old business, we have none. New business, we have none. Remarks from the public, twice. Remarks from the public, third time. Hearing none. Moving on to item E, remarks from commission members.
I have something. So Derek gave me a tour of the plant a couple weeks ago. And he showed me all around, very in-depth. Explained a lot of things, and like he could have honestly said anything, and like I wouldn't know. But what I took from it, from the improvements being made at the plant, that he was very proactive, and just bringing up this commission to look about the digester proves that, because we just talked about that 2 weeks ago, and here it is already on the agenda. So him being very proactive, to me, says he's doing a great job.
Well, thank you. That's much appreciated. Yeah, it was definitely, there's a lot of moving parts. You want to get ahead of something as quickly as possible. We've had some big things, man. That water leak, then, you know, Holly Hill, and then the Rand Whitney line, and, you know, it was one thing after another. We've had these huge storm events. We've been very lucky, but I appreciate that. Yeah, we really try to move relatively quickly because we do have the mundane day-to-day operations that we're trying to, you know, keep our eyes open to see what's coming down the pike. But yeah, I'm glad you came, and Mr.
Gladue. Yeah, I was actually, I get a chance, I'm going to ask you how big of a water system we have, and where do we actually feed? Is it mostly just 32 and a couple of side roads, or?
I could go through the whole map. I was just going to invite you down.
Yeah.
We'll go through the whole thing.
That's what I was kind of, because I'm not sure exactly how far half this stuff goes. I mean, I know there's a lot of it. I know we don't have our own reservoir. I know we buy our own water from somebody else, and we use it here. But, yeah, I was kind of curious of how much it was. I know there was a lot of stuff that a lot of these neighborhoods don't actually have fire hydrants and stuff. But like I said, we don't feed any of that, right? We just got a small section that we're feeding, just 32. And
yeah, so it's mainly Route 32 corridor, you know, where we have roughly 4,500 ratepayers for sewer. We only have like 450 for water. We have a very limited amount of extension. There were some, you know, before I came, there were some motions to move the water supply up 163 and up to the high school. But that never came to fruition. Additionally, the Department of Economic Development, whatever their indice for Montville, really didn't show any tremendous growth. So there was really no push to do an engineering study about where we should extend municipal water. Obviously, the other, you know, like SQUA, Southeastern Connecticut Water Authority, or Norwich Public Utilities, or other water groups in town, like Orchard. And you have one, right, Chairman?
SQUA just bought it.
They just bought it?
And raised the rate.
Really? What was it called before? It was
$30 a quarter. Oh, the Oakdale Heights Association.
Oakdale Heights Association. And that was a well.
Yeah, two wells.
Sold for like a dollar or something, right? Something, the sale price on that?
I don't know yet what the sale price was. I just know that it's been sold.
That's right, sold for a dollar. That tells me that thing ain't worth too much, huh?
It's nobody wants it. The state of Connecticut regulatory.
Yeah.
And dot all the T's, dot all the I's, cross all the T's.
Yeah, that one.
Well, with that being said, do you think that down the road we might end up getting stuck with some of these water systems because they just default on them?
You know, that's an interesting question because, you know, actually the former planner, Marcia, had brought that up. And, you know, when you're stuck in a situation, the Department of Public Health does look, you know, I don't know how much of a case law or a case record that there is, but I know somebody's got to take care of these water systems, you know, and they'll look and say, okay, who's doing okay? But
I know that the Oakdale Heights Association was sold because the guys that were running it were getting along in age and they wanted to retire, and nobody was stepping up.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. You reach a point where, hey, you know, I don't want to die with my hand on the rudder.
It's probably a pretty old system too, so it's
I bought my house there 42 years ago.
Like I say, all those were built in what, 60s, 70s?
Yeah.
1965? I think.
Have those wells ever been re-drilled or?
I don't think they've ever been re-drilled. They have been flushed. You know, these guys took really good care of it. They had to get all their own, they had to pay for all their own state certifications. And, they were constantly going back and forth to seminars and schools and stuff. I think twice a year we got reports on the contents of what was in the water. And to my knowledge, there was only one time that we ever had to not water our lawns. Every other time that where there was drought in other part of the states, we always had plenty of water. So Squaw raised our rates. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Okay. Kevin, comments?
I think we're good. Thank you.
Hal?
I just want to make a few comments. It's been a pleasure being part of the commission. I learned a lot. If I'm reelected, I'd like to continue if the chairman would appoint me.
Well, you'll still be here for the next meeting.
Well, that was my next comment. The next meeting is November 6th, the day before elections. I think it would be appropriate to cancel it because three of us are running. But it's up to the chairman. That being said, I'm not a political person. Gloria, awesome. And things have changed a lot in the last 2 years, and I think for the better, to be honest with you. But thank you, everybody.
All right. I'll talk that over with Derek. And,
I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
But that's up to you.
Okay.
Derek, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Al. Brought a lot to the table.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I was going to say it, but you had comments, so I didn't want to be opposed to you.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The, what's this guy? So we got, what, two?